Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Jim Kaysen, Associate Deputy Secretary at the U.S. Department of the Interior. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Steve Sika. Jim, one of the administration's key goals is on creating a federal government that is accountable, results-oriented, and appropriately aligned with the strategic goals. Could you tell us how federal managers can effectively manage an ever-increasing blended workforce composed of both contractors and federal workers? And what are some of the key differences intrinsic to these two types of people?
The federal government has a lot of experience in managing a mix of contractors and employees. Over time, that mix changes depending on circumstances and expectations and opportunities within the market. We, the department, have hundreds of contractors that we work on an active basis. It provides us the opportunity to concentrate on our core mission and skills, and while bringing in other organizations, contractors, who have capabilities that are more mobile and nimble than ours, who have not the same degree of limitations that sometimes we do as a federal government, and who can move quickly to satisfy our needs. In this particular case, in large part, it's a matter of having money available to get what you need rather than taking all the infrastructure time to go find the employees, set up an organization, set up policies and procedures, that you can bring in a contractor to do that work much more quickly when it's their business. So it ends up allowing us to manage much more cost effectively in a more timely way to approach the job that way. In the area of competitive sourcing, for example, one of the things that we do is test ourselves. And in testing ourselves, we will take discrete programs, study them, and make a determination about whether or not we would make that available for the private sector to come in and compete for those jobs. And one of the things that we found in going through that process is that it helps our staffs to actually sharpen up their business acumen and the results that they deliver for the money that we invest in them. Or we find that the private sector can come in and compete better. So it's an important tool for us to do the job well over time.
Now, Jim, we've touched a bit upon the topic of collaboration. So I'm curious, what kinds of partnerships are you developing now to improve operations or outcomes at the department, and how may these partnerships change over time?
Collaboration is a really important part of the work that we do because given that the department manages one out of every 5 acres in the United States, we touch in large part lots of lives within the U.S. and that as resources come from our federal lands, we're part of the active marketplace. The collaboration part is a recognition that we don't stand on our own. We have neighbors where we operate, that states have interest in how we manage our lands, or tribes have interest how we manage their lands, that private sector organizations, environmental groups, private individuals who depend upon our lands care about the decisions we make and how we do what we do. What we try to do in the area of collaboration is to leverage the resources that we have in the maximal way by involving other people in the jobs that we do. And let me use an example like volunteers. We have tens of thousands of volunteers who have various interests like, I want to work in a park or I want to help manage wildlife on a fish and wildlife refuge. And that these people help us leverage the resources we have available to get the missions done. And they can help us do that cost effectively because we leverage their volunteer time to get a bigger response than we could do by paying for it ourselves.
Jim, I'd like to transition now to the future. Can you give our listeners a sense of some of the key issues that will affect CFO and budget offices government-wide over the next year?
I would start with appropriations. The appropriations process has been ongoing for a number of years, but it's not entirely stable. This year, for example, our fiscal year 08, which began October 1st, We operated under a continuing resolution because our budget didn't get done. It looks like we're going to have another continuing resolution because the budget is not done. And that resolution probably will run till mid-December. We don't know where it's going to go after that. I think there's going to be, in addition to just the complication associated with not knowing what your financial picture is with any certainty, there's more complications that we would anticipate to come into our sphere over time, and that is expectations of how accurately you manage your books, how quickly you can report information out of your books, how you can integrate government information from the lowest level to the top in a time-sensitive way, how you can integrate information together, the implications associated with information technology. The technology is going to change hugely over time, and we have to be prepared to accommodate that. Software systems that do this work are getting old and dated and need to be replaced, and that causes change. So there's a number of challenges that we anticipate coming into the future that we will have to manage, and we're capable of doing that, but it will result in change.
So, Jim, as we look at Interior, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter in the future, and how do you envision your office will evolve over the next 5 years?
The Department of Interior has a lot of pressures that it has to respond to in the public arena. And let me illustrate it with the degree of litigation that we have with our programs. Since we manage one out of every 5 acres in the United States as an organization, and we have some other missions as well, but given our very broad land management portfolio, one of the things we find in interacting with the public is pretty much on an acre-by-acre basis, there's somebody who wants to develop it, and there's somebody who wants to preserve it, and that we have this constant dialogue about what decisions we make and how we manage this land over time. Sometimes that dialogue spills over into litigation. You didn't do it the way I want you to do it, and so we end up in court and we end up having a judge tell us what to do. My experience with the Department of Interior, having worked there in the 1980s and now in the 2000s, is that the degree and energy put into litigation has been a significant issue. I think there are some other things that we're going to encounter over time that are issue-based, like it appears that we have a pretty widespread drought right now and that there's concerns about whether we're prepared completely for widespread drought, how long it's going to last, will it resolve itself in a short time, will it be a long time before it does, how broad it will be, do we have water transportation and storage systems in place to deal with it in a good way. Climate change is a possibility. What kind of impact will that have? What will that do to our programs over time? Where do we go with that? The pressure of people moving into habitats that have an effect on species. We have a threatened and endangered species program that inevitably over time you get more pressure as a result of human habitation moving into species habitat. Wildfire. You know, we have a really big country that is subject to drought in a lot of places, and the prevalence of wildfire is growing. And the what we call the WUI, or the interface between the woods and urban community, is growing in the country. And it makes it much more expensive to manage a fire where houses are stuck inside the woods. So there's a number of things that are coming up as our country changes over time that the Department of Interior will have to assess and change with it.
Now, Jim, you described earlier your movements in and out of government. So I'm curious, what advice could you give to a person who perhaps is considering a career in public service?
My experience has been basically half in the private sector, half in government. And I have found that I've been very fortunate to have very interesting jobs in both sides of that fence. For anyone interested in public service, my opinion is that if you have an interest, you ought to try it. I have found that my time in public service has been very rewarding. I've worked for the federal government for probably 17, 18 years in total, and I would say I've never been bored a day of that time. It offers a wealth of opportunity, really interesting things to do. I find that I never have a lack of a problem that needs to be addressed. And so it's very interesting from that standpoint. I would say I have equally rewarding experiences in the private sector as well. But the public sector offers something that's unusual that folks may be attracted to, and that is in my life, I have opportunities to work with the Department of Justice and our legal system, work actively with lawyers who are managing litigation, the opportunity to go up and be part of the congressional process and see how legislation is actually developed and how it affects our lives on a day-to-day basis. And so it has some things that you don't normally get in the private sector that make it very interesting. So anybody that's interested in trying it, I would encourage them to do so.
That's fantastic. Jim, unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Steve and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country in the various roles you've held at the Department of the Interior.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to come and join you. The Department of Interior is a great organization that has a very broad mission that touches the lives of tens of millions of people within the United States. And I would suggest that to the extent that your listeners have the opportunity to go visit a national park or a fish and wildlife refuge, they are really great places to be to recreate and reconnect with nature.
That's fantastic, Jim. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Jim Kaysen, Associate Deputy Secretary at the U.S. Department of the Interior. My co-host has been Steve Sika, Director in IBM's Federal Civilian Industry. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.